If you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We'll start here in verses 15. I won't be going quite with your notes, but just want to remind you of just something that I've said my first ministry experience at 18 years old, actually 17 years old, in Houston, Texas, at a church called West Memorial Baptist Church. As an intern, right out of high school, wouldn't turn 18 till October that year. And pastor was just this really great, innovative, creative guy who loved the Lord, who really taught me so much on what life on life was, what community was, what a pastor's supposed to look like. And we got into the gymatorium, and we were walking around, and it was a pretty cool building. It was a gym, and then right up to the front, that was a baptistry, organ, piano, all of that. And as we were walking through, he just I'll never forget this. He said, "Mike, here at West Memorial, we love people, and we use stuff. We never, ever, ever love our stuff and use people." I'm 17 years old. I'm 65 years old. I've never forgotten that. And when I think about that, I think about that with my own stuff. I think about that with the things that I have in life. Do I love that stuff? Or do I use it for the glory of God? And that's always been my prayer. So we stepped on this property, never dreaming that we'd ever build a building. I thought I would pastor 30 people the rest of my life. I thought we'd stay in the chapel. 10 months later, after our son, who's on the back row back there, in back row Baptist, he was born 10 months after we got here, and the first 10 months of his life, there were no children here. Okay. And so I've always remembered that. So when they built the parsonage for us because we were in a single wide and we had another baby here already. And then we built that fellowship hall and then knocked the wall out and had another 400 seats. And this thing, the way this building came was just awesome and great. But I want you to hear this. I want you to hear what Scott said. This is not going to be about the building. We're going to continue to proclaim the gospel. We're going to continue to go to the ends of the earth. We're going to continue to fulfill the promises of God for us. And we as a staff and leadership have already said we're not going to make this a distraction. I just want you to know that. At the same time, it is a need. And I'm really grateful for this building committee that's got together and has been doing this for a couple of years, really 18 months, maybe even more. And I'm really, really excited. I just want you to hear what he said. No debt, and what you said, we'll never love stuff, we'll always love you. That's by the power of God and by the grace of God. That is our hope, that is our goal, that is our vision, to love, continue to love one another as we always really pursue to do. When I think about this passage of Scripture, about just choosing to follow him, a few months ago, or actually a few weeks ago, we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 1, preached a message that said, "Hey, you've been at this place long enough. Turn, get going to the place that I'm going to call you to go." And the place that he called them to go was to the promised land, to go over the Jordan to the promised land of a land that was flowing with milk and honey that he had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now 400 years after Jacob, it's time to go. It's time to move. They're there 11 months. They get the law. They also worship the golden calf. They also grumble and complain. There's also plagues. There's also great, wonderful things that happen. They get manna every single day, the miracle of God. There's the cloud by day that takes them through to that place. It's the fire by night that keeps them warm. Listen, folks, I just wanted you to tell you they had everything that they needed, but God was saying, "You don't belong here. You belong over here." And that was over in the promised land. But because of the obstacles that face them, they said no to God. In 40 years, they wander in the wilderness. Let me ask you a question. Have you been wandering in the wilderness? Is there a wandering about your life that you're tired of? Is there this just up and down where you have a good few weeks and then all of a sudden you have a few bad weeks? Or you have a few good days in your marriage, but you have a week or two that's not good at all? And it's this cycle that keeps going on and on and on in your life. And you continue, what you continue to do, the bottom line is that you continue to make the wrong choices. And we're all susceptible. All susceptible. They wandered, they said no, they died in the wilderness, 90 funerals a day for 40 years. Until the 20-year-olds are now 60-year-olds. They made a decision and said no to God. And I want to ask a question today, really important. What choices are you making that you declare to God, no, I'm not going to do that. Not going to go that far. I'm not going to ask for forgiveness. I'm not going to make that right. I'm not going to get rid of that addiction. I'm not going to get rid of this or that. I'm not going to embrace what you've asked me to embrace. It's how you miss him. When God comes and he meets you, and many of you in here have had encounters with God that you knew that it was God, and God came and he did a work, and you started walking and started moving toward him, and it was great until somebody got in your way and said something that you didn't like, or somebody that decided didn't like you, or it didn't work out the way I thought it was supposed to work out. And you go, I don't need this church. I don't need this ministry. I don't need this God. Maybe some degree that's happened with some of you. And all that leads is to wandering because ultimately you said no to him. This passage of scripture is 40 years later. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. Moses isn't going with them. This is his farewell speech. He's talked about the word of God and how you're to follow the word. In this passage alone, he talks about how God's going to circumcise their heart. In other words, give them a clean heart to do what God asks them to do. He's saying, even in Old Testament time, he's giving them everything they need to follow his word. You come 2,000 years after the cross, and you see the things that God has asked of you, has asked of your marriage, has asked of your parenting, has asked of your children, has asked of the integrity that you're to do in your job, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, how to get along with people, how to get along with the church, how to even get along with enemies. I mean, it's all there in Scripture. You don't have to go to a self-help book to find some help by some guy that sold a million books. It's right here in Scripture of how we're to live. And what's so phenomenal about it, as we celebrated Chris's baptism today, that actually the water baptism happened, but the baptism happened on that day, in that parking lot or wherever you were, I don't know, where he gave his life to Christ. It's where it started. And God comes to do a work in this young man, in every one of us, to get us out and keep us out of the pits because of all the bad choices we'll still make as we follow our carton, our flesh, instead of following the Spirit of God. And in this Old Testament passage of Scripture, it's so powerful because this is what he says in verse 15. He says it clearly to the children of Israel. Clearly to them, you're going to go into this land and you're going to possess this land. But you've got to obey me. And the question is will I do all that God has asked me to do? When God prompts me, when I know it's God, when I know I got to get rid of that thing, I know I got to embrace this other thing, whatever that is for you, will I obey the Lord? Because the Bible says in chapter verse 6, we won't read it, don't have enough time for it this morning, but he says, I'm going to give you a new heart. And the command that I'm going to give you, it's not too difficult. I don't know what it is about the idea that the commands of God are such a burden and difficult when he says they're not a burden. Why in the world would I think that the word's a burden or I can never do it when God says you can do this? It is not a burden. Somehow I'm listening to the flesh and I'm listening to the enemy about things that I should not be listening to. No, whatever God asks you to do, like forgive that horrible thing, that man for that, or that woman for that horrible thing that they did. You think, I can't do that. That's too hard. That's too difficult. Well, actually he says, hey, I'm not telling you to do it one time. I'm telling you to do it 70 times seven. Wow. Thanks a lot, God. There's no way I can do that. You're right. You can't do it according to your flesh, but you can do it by the power of the living God that is living in your heart. Jesus is there. He's in the middle. The moment we come to Christ, he comes into our heart, comes into our life. The Holy Spirit takes hold of our lives, and all we're simply to do is to walk according to it. We're to choose life. Notice what he says to the children of Israel. See, I've set before you today life and death, life and prosperity, and death and adversity. And that I command you today to love your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you're entering to possess it. But watch, if your heart turns away from God, and you quit obeying him, and then you're drawn away to worship other gods of this world and serve them, I'm going to declare to you that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I'm calling heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, you and your children, your grandchildren, your great children, grandchildren, your great greats, the ones you'll never see, they'll never see you. And you do this by loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him, for this is your life and length of days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give to them. You flash forward, which is our 2,000 years ago, and you have God in a miraculous way fulfilling this out for the New Testament believer through the cross, the blood, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God coming to send his Spirit to live and dwell within you to change your heart to live this life. This is not just Old Testament life. This is New Testament life. You see it. You see it just laced in scripture. For instance, you'll see Matthew 12:30, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Matthew 7:13-14, on the screen, he says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, the way is broad that leads to destruction. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to death. You look at a scripture like Galatians 6:7 on the screen. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever you sow, a man sows, this he will reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now, it's really interesting. I'm going to tell you to let go of Deuteronomy because we won't get back to that till next week. And I want you to look at Galatians chapter 5, if you would. Galatians chapter 5. Had every intention to mention this in another context last week, but didn't have the opportunity. If you've been around Cottonwood a long time or even a short time, you know that these are some scriptures that just, for me, are just go-to about how we're to live. Because you're either going to live for your flesh or you're going to live for the Spirit of God. Let me ask you a question. I think it's a safe thing to raise your hand. How many of you have spent some time, a part of time, maybe a lot of time, living after the flesh? Wow. Can I get a selfie with that? No, I'm kidding. Can you raise your hand again? No, I'm kidding. Thank you.
Now let me ask you a question. How did that work out for you?
Horrible. Not good. You chose death. That's what you chose. You chose the curse. We chose adversity. But when Jesus comes into your life and you begin living by the Spirit of God, that's life. That's blessing. That's the choice that you want to make day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. It's a life by which we follow Him, not our carton here, okay? If you're new to me, you need to us, the carton is just the thing, your body, your flesh, that houses you. Bible calls it the flesh. And I don't know what you did this weekend. I don't know what you did this week. You could have been in a rage this week. You could have been in a rage this morning. You could have been drunk over the weekend. You could have had done drugs over the weekend. You could have done drugs this morning. I don't know. But rage, lust, addictions, all those things bring death. They bring not blessing, but adversity. They bring the curse. And I'm going to say this because it's really, really important. You may be one that's living under the curse, and you may be one that's living under the blessing today. I'm going to tell you this. If you're under the curse, you can get out of it today. And if you're under the blessing, you can go get somebody under the curse out of it today. Amen. We just don't wait for a message like this. But we see that friend, we see that husband, we see that daddy, we see that son, and they're in that dark place. And the question is will I walk in the spiritual freedom that God's called me to walk in and the authority that He's given to walk in me, not to be critical, not to be judgmental, not to smash him, but to get him up and say, let's go a different direction. Yeah. Yes. I look at this passage of Scripture, and I think Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, really, really quick, but maybe not, because this is very, very important. You're either sowing to the flesh or you're sowing to the Spirit. Now, just to make clear, what is sowing? This is not mending your clothes. This is planting seed. Sowing. And whatever you sow, this is what you're going to reap. So like if you're going to sow and plant corn, and you want corn, what do you got to put in there? Corn seed. Yes. Thank you. If you're going to plant tomatoes, well, they've already got, most of us had it started, but you're going to plant tomato seed. You're not, listen, I know this for a fact. I can go in my yard and I can see sometimes all these sticker plants. I didn't plant those. Did you? No. But they come up. Why? Because the enemy spiritually will sow seed in your life through your mind, through your heart, through many, many ways to get you to a place where you're not choosing, where you're not choosing him. We either sow like this to the Spirit and reap eternal life, the blessing, or we sow to the flesh and we reap destruction. You raised your hand and you walked according to the flesh. There's one of three things that you walked in. You walked in either the pride of life, which where we find bitterness and anger, or the lust of the flesh, which where we find sexual sin and food sin, and then the lust of the eyes, which is nothing but greed. You walk in the flesh, you'll charge things that you shouldn't be charging. You'll be taken which you should not be taken because you live by a spirit of greed and covetousness. So to the flesh. And it'll always come back and get you. Am I right? I mean, there are people who go for years and years and years in their sin. Secret. Nobody else knows. And then all of a sudden, it's wide open. And everybody knows. Bible says, be careful because your sins will find you out. Question is how am I making good choices? I want you to notice verse 13 of Galatians chapter 5. You were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Now watch this. But through love, serve one another. Because the whole law of God is really fulfilled in one word, in one statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We know the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. This is the second one. But ultimately, what he's saying, this is it. You love your neighbor as yourself. See, if I love my neighbor as myself, I'm not going to be angry at him, and I'm not going to murder. I'm not going to covet his wife. I'm not going to covet the things that he has. I'm not going to think that I got to have what he has. I'm not going to lie about my neighbor. I'm not going to bear false witness against him because I love my neighbor. I'm going to walk in a way that's pleasing to God with my neighbor, no matter what my neighbor might do or say to me. He says, this is what's fulfilled. You love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You love your neighbor as yourself. You will keep the Ten Commandments. I'm just telling you. You will keep the Word of God out of this great, great love that God's placed within us. Walk by the Spirit, he says. Verse 16. And you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Think about that for a moment. I want to share with you in the original language what it says. I say to you, keep on walking by the Spirit, and you will never, ever, ever carry out the desire of the flesh. Because the flesh, it sets its desire against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are in opposition to one another so that you're not doing the things that you know you need to be doing. You've got the Spirit of the living God living in you, and yet you still have your flesh. And the enemy will take that flesh and form it over your mind so you begin believing lies. And you walk in those lies, and before you know it, you're walking in sin. You're walking in rebellion. You're walking in doubt and unbelief and these things that bring ruin to us. No, he says, listen, you walk by the Spirit. I'm giving you life and prosperity, death and adversity. You have a choice to follow what you're going to follow. And I'm just going to say this, it's really important. The only way you're going to follow it is what God says about your life, what God says about your marriage, what God says about your children, what God says about raising them, what God says about your adult children, what God says about the church, what God says how you're to live life, how you're to walk again in the integrity that God has called you to walk in. Because I'm going to tell you this. I was talking about this with elders this morning. It's always little by little that the enemy plunges you into ruin eventually. I was 8 years old. We're at the convenience store. And I was with a friend that decided that he was going to steal a pack of gum. And it scared me to death that he would ever think of stealing something. But I'm going to tell you what it goes. You might steal something little, put it in your pocket, walk down the road, not repent of it, and all of a sudden, you do it again. Oh man, now there's a little thrill about it. That thrill's from the enemy. And then before you know it, you're embezzling from your employer. or you start entertaining thoughts that you know you're not supposed to be entertaining. And before you know it, you're on the internet. And before you know it, you're on the internet a whole lot and just on these kinds of sites. And before you know it, you're committing fornication and adultery and moving to places when it started in this little bitty thing in your mind. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. Choose life by what? By actually thinking right. By putting to death the thoughts and the things of this world that you know if I keep going down this road, it will get me to a place of destruction in my life, in my family. That's what this does. And so I'm choosing life right now in my mind and in my heart before I start speaking it and before I start doing it and keep on doing it. And all of a sudden, I've built this huge stronghold of sin in my life. And things come tumbling down. Why? Because I decided I'd live by the flesh and not by the spirit. I mean, say this, really important. If you walk by the flesh and you keep on walking by the flesh and you're not being led by the Spirit and walking by the Spirit, look at verse 19. This is what will come out of your life. Immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Those are sexual sins outside of marriage, reserved sins. That's sexual sin. And sexuality is only, listen to me, is only permitted within the bonds of the marriage bed, period. Not premarital, not postmarital stuff with somebody else. It's in the bonds of marriage. That's what that is. He calls these the deeds of the flesh. Why would he say that? Because every one of you who raised your hand that said, I spent a series of times in the flesh that it never worked for me. Lust, pornography, flirting, doing things in the office, and just feeling a little bit more safe, feeling a little more comfortable, no longer blushing. And one day, it swallows you whole, like the fish that swallowed Jonah, who was walking in rebellion to his great God. Notice what else. Idolatry. Idolatry is something that you love more than you love God. Idolatry is something that you think is going to fulfill what only God can fulfill in your life. There are people who think alcohol is going to fulfill what only God can fulfill. They think partying is going to fulfill what only God can fulfill. They think thievery is going to fulfill. They think money is going to fulfill what only God can fulfill. They think, watch this, this is good. They think marriage is going to fulfill what only God can fulfill. They think having a bunch of children is going to fulfill what only God can fulfill. I'm not saying everybody has children. I'm not saying everybody getting married thinks this way. But we have a propensity to bow down to the gods of this world or to make a god out of something good. That gift, a gift that God gives. That's what an idol is. Because you think, I've been over there to Asia and I've been over there to India and they got a whole bunch of idols. I don't have an idol like that in my house. You can have it smack dab in the middle of your mind and middle of your heart. Because you think that's going to fulfill what only God can fulfill. That's what happened when those of you that raised your hands said, I walked in seasons of flesh. You thought running after the flesh was going to fulfill something in your life. And it might have given you a quick fix. But certainly wasn't sustainable by the next hour, 2 hours, overnight. Why? Because you're doing it your way. You're living according to the flesh. Sexual sin, idolatry. Notice what else he says. He says sorcery. That's anything to do with witchcraft. I mean, if you're messing with horoscope, if you're messing with crystals, and you think Christians can mess with crystals, that is nothing but sorcery. We don't get our instruction from the world. Show me the chapter and verse it says that. Sorcery.
That's what this is. That's what it is. When you go to a fortune teller or to a hand reader or to anything else like this, enmities and strife, that's just fightings and fussings and jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. Now watch what he says. And things like these. Now this is what Paul says to the Galatian church. Really important. Of which I have forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Is that sobering enough? I've been preaching this since I was 27 years old. I'm 65 years old. And every time I read it like this, it sobers me up. Because the last thing I want to do is practice sin. Because my Bible says as long as you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. This is why God says, choose this day whom you will serve. Will you serve this great God, or will you serve the gods of the culture? The gods of the world. What is in your life right now that can be, I mean, it can be related to some of these things. And it may just be a little thing. But I want to tell you, the scripture says it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. I'm not doing anything real big, and I'm not really hurting anybody. No, you're hurting yourself, you're hurting your family, you're hurting people, even though they don't know it now or know it yet. But you're moving in that direction. And as long as you and I will continue to walk after the flesh, it's as long as we'll be continuing to set ourselves up for adversity and death. Now, would you hear me? I love you enough to tell that to me, and I love you enough to tell that about you, to give the warning of where I am and where you are in this life. Because I want to tell you this, God has so much better for you and me than this. Amen? So much better. That's why God says, hey, there's death and there's life. There's trouble, adversity, and there's blessing. There's curse. You have this choice to make. And it may be hard. It may be difficult. Because you may have to sit down with somebody that's the closest person in your life and say, this has been in my life. Man. But it's the only way to freedom. We spent two or three messages on the power of confession that says, this is where I'm at, and we humble ourselves, and before you know it, you're out of the pit. You're out of the pit. I want you to see something with me as we close with this morning. When I choose life, I choose the Spirit of God. I choose the things of God. I choose to live my life by that. I'm not formed and fashioned by the culture. I don't have to keep up with the Joneses. I don't have to have something bigger, something better. That's not what this is about. This is about a life that is finding your all-sufficient happiness and glory in the relationship with Jesus Christ. Tell me something. What are you looking for the all-satisfying fulfillment in your life right now? How are you looking for it? What are you doing to trying to find it? I can tell you how you're doing it. Just look at your schedule. Just look at the people you hang with. That's what you're stuffing into the God-shaped hole that only God can fill. And so when he says, choose, life or death, this is what he's saying. You have an opportunity. You've been choosing death. It hadn't been working. It's been miserable. Why would I not look at the face of Jesus and say, I want that? I want
him. Because I'm going to say this, you hear me say this because it's so important, is that when I choose life and I choose the Spirit and I choose God's way, all of a sudden I'm going to be getting rid of old junk and the new is coming. Like verse 22, that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. You walk by the Spirit, and this is what comes out of your life. Amen. Amen. That's what comes out of our life. That's the remedy of not walking in the joy, the peace. That's the remedy from walking in unbelief. It's the remedy. It's walk by the Spirit. Now, as I was asking this question, because it's a big question, how do you do that? I'm glad you asked. I want you to bow with me in prayer. I'm going to tell you without you looking around, okay? First of all, you have to have a growing, vibrant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where you're saved by grace through faith. No one else can save you in this world but Jesus. No man, no pastor, no leader, no one else can do that. You have to come to a place that you believe that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, he did just for you. That he died for you in your place as the substitute. That's the very first thing. Some of you might be here saying, well, I know that. Well, do you really know it? Question is, are you really living it? Because in my opinion, you're not knowing it very good. Do you know and believe that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, he did for you? Let me ask you a question. It may be the first time someone's ever said it this way to you. So I want to ask the question right now for the first time. Could God be birthing within you a faith to believe that what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago at the grave, he did for you to take away your sin, to take away your bondage, and give you new life today? Could God be birthing within you a faith? And if you say yes in your heart, you don't need to leave here until you've talked to someone to talk to me. Because that's what happened to our brother Chris. He believed in that moment. And all of a sudden has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Second, when you come to Jesus, you get the Spirit of God. Now, I know that can be kind of hard, kind of difficult. But you begin to get in the Word of God. You get hungry for the Word. Bible says you don't live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so the question you got to ask yourself is, how hungry am I for God's Word? Or am I more hungry for the scroll? You know what I'm talking about. I'm scrolling for 5-6 hours a day. More hungry for that than I'm hungry for the things of God, for the Word of God. Hungry for him, hungry for his word, where I read it, where I want to believe it, where I not only believe it, but I begin to obey it immediately. Fourth, or third, I got to get to the point to hear God through his word, through the encouragement of a person in the body, through just the promptings of the Spirit of God. For instance, if you've read today anything about the deeds of the flesh and one of those popped up in your mind, oh, that's me, I'm going to tell you something. Praise God, God showed you. You didn't come up on your own. You didn't come up with that on your own. Or I don't have self-control. And I want self-control. This is where, what I believe about walking by the Spirit is this. I'm obeying the initial promptings of the Spirit of God. That's what that is. You know that it will not violate the Word of God, first of all, whatever you hear in your heart and your mind. But I'm just saying this, God wants to have an ongoing conversation with you so that you are hearing the Word of God. And I want to ask you folks, will you choose to walk by the Spirit and sow seed to the Spirit of God instead of sowing seed to the flesh and walking by the flesh and my own stuff, in my own junk, in my own lust and anger, but in the word of God, the love of God, and the power of God. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that as you've set before us life and death, adversity and blessing, I pray that we would choose life by loving you, by following you, walking by your Spirit, that we would choose you, Lord, by staying in relationship with you and not the world, not the enemy. I pray, Holy Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us in your name. I want you to still keep your head down for just a moment. I want to ask you a question. What has God spoken to you about this morning? What comes to the fore of your heart? Would you say yes to that today? Would you allow the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit living God, to form in your heart a strategy, so to speak, by which you're going to get up from this place and go run, do what God is asking of you to do by the power of the Spirit. If you listen to me, if you said, yeah, that's what I know is right. I know this is what God's spoken to me. Well, listen, you heard God this morning. Do you want to hear more from him? Be faithful with that one. Be faithful with that one. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that we would see men and women, sons and daughters, husbands and wives, families, stand up from a message like this, a service like this, put their yes on the altar, and move with you. I pray it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen and amen.